Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist to billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
He was amazing with the individuals that we served. Like, he was great with them. But when it came to working with the other team members, he'd be a jerk. And he would lash out at people, and he would be mean. We had people in tears sometimes. And so I would meet with him about it. And at that time, we only had like 4 or 5 team members. And so I would meet with him about it, and I'd be like, okay, you're doing great here, but the way you're acting negative, like, that needs to change. And he's like, okay, it's gonna get better. So it would get better for like a month. A month would go by, same stuff would happen. We would have another. If people are willing to grow, like, that's an amazing thing. If they wanna learn and they're willing to grow, that's what your job as a leader is. And if they do that and they're willing, like, we're gonna take them as far as they want. Because we're always learning, we're always screwing up. Every day. The thing is, if you continue to make new mistakes and not repeat the same mistakes. In this situation, this went on for like almost 2 years. And I'm embarrassed. Like, this was like 8 years ago, let's say 10 years ago. It was like 8 years ago. And I was being a coward as a leader. And those other good team members, I found out later on, were leaving as a result of me not flat out, people can call it what you want, terminate, letting them go, firing them. And at that point, I mean, if they're not willing to grow and they're not changing, and they're being extremely negative, energy vampires suck because they start to suck the energy and drain it out of everyone else, and that becomes the new normal. And finally, he did something that there was no turning back from it, and I fired him. And I remember even in my head, I was thinking like, what's gonna happen? We're so small, some people know him. And when he left, it was like, it was like on Dorothy, like when the witch gets crushed, and they're like, ding dong, the witch is wondering if they're gonna be mad at him, and they start singing like, ding dong, the witch is dead. That's what it was like the whole atmosphere changed. And I realized that there was so much negative tension in the air that became like the new normal. I mean, you've had it happen when you can just step into a room and you're not even involved in the drama. And you can just feel it like a cloud, like, oh my gosh, something's not right here. Like, something's, I don't know what it is. That was becoming like our culture without me even knowing it. And that was becoming the normal. And firing that person then maybe realize people letting me know that some people left as a result of that. So I realized, like, never again as the leader am I going to be that much of a coward, because our job is to serve our teams and protect our teams, and we're going to fire those people that are energy vampires that are bringing down the rest of the team. And the individuals we serve feed off of that. Like, they can feel that drama that triggers off behaviors. It's not good for anyone, and it's never fun to fire people, but I've learned a lot faster that by not firing the wrong people, the aftermath of that to deal with is way, way, way worse, and it absolutely doesn't help your retention. You'll lose those good people, because awesome people don't want to be around energy vampires. And we have a no gossip policy. If anyone wants, I can, you can email me. I can send you a full copy of how we have that. We actually will give a warning, and the gossip is about solving. It's not like no one should ever have a problem. It's when you have a problem, it's taking it up to the right person that can actually fix the problem versus just talking negative to another team member about something that no one else can fix, which causes more gossip, which causes more drama, and it gets really bad, it gets out of control, it gets contagious. So this is just about helping solve problems. We have them handed up to the chain to the person that can actually fix the problem. And what happens a lot of times is problems actually get fixed. It's an amazing thing when that happens. When they don't, and people have asked me, like on HR and stuff, like, well, can you fire someone for gossiping? Can they sue you? No, gossips are not a protected federal class. I've been asked that way too many times. The other thing I have is stop moving tumors. What I'm talking about there is in bigger organizations, when someone's having a problem with someone or with group homes, this person's a freaking nightmare, let's just move them to another home or her. That's like having a tumor in your shoulder saying, doctor, will you please remove this tumor and put it into my ankle? And now my arm feels better, but now there's a tumor growing in my freaking leg. And the whole body's the company, it's the organization, it's gonna die. Stop doing that. The only time you should do that is if someone, I've had it in it, like a situation where we had someone that was a director and it just really wasn't, he wanted to be the best, he was the hardest worker, and it just wasn't like in his strength zone. He was amazing at direct care. Like he was so, he was passionate, that's what he loved, and he was trying and it wasn't working. In that situation, we helped create a position for him to be like a floor float. And that worked amazingly because this person was like a rock star with an incredible attitude. So that he wasn't a tumor to begin with. It was repositioning him to where his like strengths really shine, or her. So that's different. But I've seen this way too many times where it's like, we don't want to deal with this. They've been moved to like 16 different homes. Like, are you kidding me? I had that happen when I was a manager for group homes back in the day, and my program director I met with, and then when I left, they just gossiped about me rather than fix the problem. How does that make you feel? How much do you think I respected them? Or how much do I want to go to them next time I'm having a problem? And then they're like, oh, well, we removed that person to another house. Really? That was like freaking abusing our clients? That was like screaming at them and cussing at them? You fixed that by moving them to another house. Are you out of your mind? Like, what? It's not okay. Like, these are lives that we're dealing with. It's human beings that we're serving. Like, stop doing that. It's not okay. And I understand it's hard and you need people and everyone's working a lot of shifts, but you can get more done with less of the right people than with those freaking negative, gossiping, backstabbing, crazy drama kings and queens that are way too much everywhere that destroy organizations like cancer. Weed them out, please. That was like that email I needed to write. How much time?
You know what I said? That was a fine.
Yes, yes. I love it. The next one is the bubble conundrum. And these types of team members are so hard because you'll work with them on a problem and they'll fix it and they'll start getting better in that area. And then like over here, something else pops up. And then you work with them on that and they do like want to get better. And they'll start getting better there. And then something totally random will like pop up. And then you work with them on that and they'll get better on that. And then something else pops up. And there was one team member we had that I realized like it was causing, we couldn't put our finger on like what the issue actually was. But it was like causing like this weird chaos in the whole team. Like everyone was kind of flustered because this person was, and it was a nice person. And I realized, actually Dave Ramsey taught me this, to ask this question in these situations, if the same person were to come back knowing everything you know today, would you still hire them? In this situation, the answer is like, oh my gosh, no, I wouldn't. So what do you need to do, Mark? Okay, and it wasn't fun because it wasn't as cut and dry. And it wasn't like one, but I did look through his stuff and I was like, oh my gosh, he has been written up over the past 4 years for like 500 different things, but none of them are the same thing. It was crazy. We had like a file like this big. So I had to talk with him. I let him go. He was crying. But even that was like the bubble. Like, he was like getting up to hug me. And then I was like, are you trying to fight me? I don't know what is going on. And it was a good guy. And that's what I've learned. Like, you have to separate the behavior from the person. But these things just aren't perfectly black and white. I don't talk from theories. Like, I'm living this. After I get done speaking, I'll probably have some fun adventures that I'll be working with my team on. But it's amazing to see how far we've come. And what I can tell you is by getting rid of those people, even the bubble conundrum types, that elevates your team, that elevates your unity, and that continues to attract better team members that not only will stay with you longer, but that will work harder, that will get more done, and they'll get the word of mouth out there to bring more and more Eagles into your place. And I learned for this person, it was better. It wasn't a good fit for him. It really wasn't. I was doing him a disservice by keeping him on. And that got him to go back to school and do what he needed to do. So we have to have the courage to make those hard calls. Another thing that I always ask too is like, not what's best for me in this situation and in any major problem I'm facing, like what overall is best, because it's not usually the easiest decision that we have to make. But when you have to look at these tougher calls, like in this situation with this person, it was a nice guy, but it was bringing so many things in, I have to ask like, what is best for the company as a whole? That's something that you have to remember. It helps like put things in perspective. And you get paid more to solve way bigger problems. It's not easy. Like, there's a lot that comes with this. There's a lot that goes with leadership. But it's also one of the most rewarding things that you can do. And we even got, our culture has, it blows my mind up here talking about this, because I couldn't even imagine a time, the team members we have now are so freaking awesome. Don't get me wrong, we still have issues, but we're way quicker at getting rid of the wrong people. We actually more than once, we've gotten thank you letters from people that we fired. And Christy, I wrote your name down. Christy, CEO. One of your issues was about someone that is continuing to be late. This is someone we fired for that. And it's hard to do. And I understand that when you're short and also you have other team members that, or you, and other things too, like they weren't following like the dress code and you were struggling with when or if to fire them, people like that. And the thing is, it's called sanction and competence. And it's like, everyone else for us, we also do transportation. We run 9 different routes. So if you're like 4 minutes late, that's not a huge deal, but if it's like 10, 15, that will throw transportation off. We have that like down to a science. You'll hit the traffic, and then it affects the individuals, and they'll be like an hour late to our program. That's doing them a disservice. So we have to get on people for that. And we had a team member that was doing that exact same thing. Like this was her, she was awesome in every other area, like freaking crushed it. Was amazing with the documentation, amazing, positive attitude, great person. Couldn't show up on time to save her, like not 4 minutes, like 15, 20 minutes late. So we had a meeting with her. And I always say it's unkind to be unclear. Like, don't beat around the bush. Just, I love you, you're awesome, you're doing great here. You can't keep being late. And instead of just doing these generic write-ups, explain the why. Here's why this is so important. I'm not watching the clock every Tuesday. It's because when this route gets thrown off and you're 15 minutes late, then this mom has to go to work and you're 45 minutes late and now she's getting in trouble and you're affecting her job. And then the individual that we have special therapy for in the morning is missing his therapy. You're affecting these people's lives. Like, that's how serious this is. That's why we take it that serious. So we told her, after there was like, we call write-ups, coachings, we went through two of those, and then after the third one, we were like, look, it was very black and white. Over the next year, if you're like 2 minutes late, okay, but if you're ever more than 5 minutes late, just come in, get your stuff, drop off your belongings, and leave.